Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person. And again, this week we are not streaming online. We are still working to get the person who has been stalking me blocked from YouTube. So as soon as that happens, we'll be back to streaming like usual. Have a couple of announcements this morning. One, I was exposed to COVID this week, and I am really not feeling well. I've tested negative, but just am not feeling good, so I'm going to continue to wear a mask during worship, even when I preach. And to be extra safe, we're not going to have communion today. I don't want to handle food that you might put in your mouth and be close enough to you to give you the bread. So we're going to do the service of the word. It'll be a smooth transition, I promise. Just follow along with me after the offering. This afternoon, we have a baby shower for Anna Nelson in the Fellowship Hall from 2 to 4. It's being hosted by Tina Heitman and April Bunton, and you are all invited. So we hope that you will join us for that. Agape is canceled for tomorrow, but we'll be meeting again next month as usual. And then this Wednesday, we have a big day. Senior Citizens meets at 10:30. Our Wednesday evening midweek meals start up, and this week it is a potluck. Each week after this, it will be a different group in the church providing dinner, but this week it is a potluck. And then we will have worship at 6:30 after that. We want to express our deep heartfelt sympathies to Neil and Terry, Anna and Stephen at the death of Neil's mom, Eva Ray Clark. I heard that the service yesterday was lovely and it honored her so beautiful, but continue to hold them in your prayers as they grieve. And we will pray saying her name aloud in the prayers of intercession later. Something fun to note, today is the day that the whole church celebrates Martin Luther. Interestingly enough, it's not on his birthday, it's on his death date. This is when the church honors all saints because it's the day that their baptismal journey is complete. And so to honor Martin Luther, we're gonna open our service singing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." We've got a couple things I want to make sure you take home with you. The 2023 annual report. Next week after worship, we're going to approve the annual report, but we'd love for you to take this home this week and read through it so that next week, if you have any questions, you can bring it up then. But please take this home and look through it. And we have our Lenten devotionals that I've already found really meaningful. I'm loving these prayer cards. Each day it asks you a question to think or ponder, and then the prayers on the back are just really lovely prayers. And then the devotional has also been lovely with some great poetry. So please take one of these home, one of each, so that you can read along with us during Lent as we look at the life of Jesus' disciple Peter. And we're going to be looking more at his life during our Wednesday evening worship services. We have a few birthdays, anniversaries, and baptisms this week. Latifah Dennis, Andy Ferguson, Bonnie Hedrick, Tim Everhart, Chip and Ann Blower celebrate their anniversary, as do Andy and Crystal Ferguson. And Scott Black and Elisa Summer are remembering their baptisms. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who makes a way in the wilderness, who walks with us and guides us in our pilgrimage. Amen. Holy One, we confess that we have wandered far from you. We have not trusted your promises. We have ignored your prophets in our own day. We have squandered our inheritance of grace. We have failed to recognize you in our midst. Have mercy on us. Forgive us and turn us again to you. Teach us to follow in your ways, and assure us again of your love, and help us to love our neighbor. Amen. Beloved in Christ, the Word draws near to you. In Jesus, God comes to you again and again, and gathers you under wings of love. In Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven. God journeys with you and teaches us how to live in love. Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now so that following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives with you and reigns with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Conrad. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Cameron. And good morning, Maddie. I'm so glad to see all of you this morning. I hope that you had a good week. Do you guys see anything different in the sanctuary this Sunday? Sawyer? It's all purple. Well, it's all purple because on Wednesday, we started a new season in the church called Lent. So I've got my purple stole on. We've got the purple banner, the purple paraments. There's even some purple flowers back there, isn't there? What? Even my mask is purple, yes. Thank you, Tony, for getting me liturgical colored masks. So Lent is a 40-day season, although Sundays are not included in those 40 days, but Lent is a 40-day season where we get our hearts and our minds and our bodies ready to celebrate Easter. It's kind of like how we have Advent before Christmas to prepare us and prepare ourselves for Jesus coming at Christmas. Lent prepares us for Jesus' resurrection at Easter. And so in just a minute, when you guys go to Children's Church, we're going to read a Bible story where Jesus goes into a wilderness for 40 days. That's where we get the 40 days for Lent from. But before he goes into the wilderness, Jesus is baptized. And the story says that when he came up out of the water, God's voice said to him, "You are my beloved. In you I am well pleased." Beloved is one of those churchy words that we use it at church, but we don't use it a lot everywhere else. Do any of you know what beloved means? Beloved? It means that you're really, really loved. So you are beloved by mom and dad and Nana and Papa. And you all are beloved by your families. But you are beloved by God. And baptism reminds us of that. And that's why we have our baptismal font right at the front of the sanctuary. So every time you come in, you can see that. And you can remember that God loves you, that you are beloved. And sometimes when people come forward for communion, you know what they do? They dip their finger in the water and they make the sign of the cross on their forehead, just like at baptism, to remember their baptism, to remember that they're God's beloved. And you can do this anytime with water. When I wash my face, I take one splash and I say, "I'm baptized in the name of the Father," and another splash, and "in the name of the Son," and "in the name of the Holy Spirit. I am God's beloved daughter." I do that when I wash my hands, when I wash my dishes. Anytime you have water, you can remind yourself of your baptism and that you are God's beloved. So before you all go to Children's Church, let's come and dip our finger in the font and make the sign of the cross on your forehead, and we're going to say, "I am God's beloved." Should we do that? Sawyer, do you want to come dip your finger in the font? Or Brantley, you want to come dip your finger in the font and make the sign of the cross? Okay, everybody dip your finger. Dip, 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 dip. You want to dip it in there, Maddie? Dip your finger in there and make a cross on your forehead, top to bottom, side to side. And say, repeat after me, "I am God's beloved." You are God's beloved. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. This morning we remember our baptism. Remind us always that we are your beloved, that you love us so much. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go to Children's Church with Anna.
Let us read responsibly Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, my God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame. Let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Show me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your truth and teach me. You are the God of my salvation. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love. They are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. You are gracious and upright, O Lord. You lead the lowly in justice. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness.
Thank you.
the Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. A voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The other day, I was watching an episode of one of my favorite shows, The Big Bang Theory, when Sheldon's girlfriend invited him to do something by saying, "Come on, it'll be fun." Sheldon's response was to get up, get a dictionary, hand it to her, and say, "Why don't you look up the definition of fun and get back to me?" You might have the same response for me in just a minute, because I want to invite you to have a little bit of fun with me this morning as we look at a couple of really cool things in the Greek. Now, is there anyone who's wanting to get me a dictionary now to look up the definition of fun because you think I might have it wrong? Well, at the very least, if you don't think it's fun, I think you'll think it's interesting. So our gospel lesson for today is Jesus' baptism according to Mark. A couple of Sundays ago, our guest preacher, Vicar Christina, told us that Mark has a sense of urgency in his writing, and he moves along so fast. For example, look at how the Gospel of Mark begins. It doesn't begin with Jesus' birth story. There's no Mary or baby Jesus or shepherds or angels or magi. Because Mark has something to say, and he wants to get right down to it. And so he starts his gospel with the words of the prophet Isaiah, with some actions by John the Baptizer, and then before you know it, he moves us to the baptism of Jesus. And that's just in the first few verses. Mark also tells us the story of Jesus' baptism a little differently. So first, unlike the other Gospels, in Mark, the words we all know well from Jesus' baptism, "You are my Son, the Beloved, in you I am well pleased," in Matthew and in Luke, everyone hears those words, including the crowds gathered there. But in Mark, only Jesus hears those words. It's as if the crowd who was gathered at the bank of the river couldn't see or hear what was unfolding. But we, as the reader, we get to know and we get to see. Mark also doesn't offer as many descriptors or details about the event. But the author of Mark does offer one description that the others don't. The other gospel writers use the word "opened" to say that the sky was opened and that the Spirit descended like a dove. This word and the picture it paints for us of the sky opening could have been as simple as the clouds parting. But it's also possible that the author of Mark was referring to the ancient understanding of the earth and sky. The people at the time of Jesus believed that the earth was like a plate and that the sky was a dome over that plate, kind of like a cake plate or maybe even a cheese board. The domed sky, they believed, had gates in it, which sometimes opened, and that's how water was let in, and that's how it rained, is those gates would open in that dome. And so when Matthew and Luke say that the sky was opened, they could mean that the clouds parted, or they might mean that that gate in the dome might have been opened. But that's not what Mark says. And here's where the fun begins. Mark doesn't say that the sky simply opened. Mark says that Jesus saw the sky torn apart or ripped apart. The Greek word that Mark uses here means to rip or to violently tear apart. It's a really dramatic and powerful word, much different than opening a window or a door or a gate. It's very possible that Mark here is responding to a verse in Isaiah, one we've all heard before. Lord, that you would open the heavens and come down. Mark is saying that in Jesus, this is exactly what God has done. Right? If the sky had just opened like a door or gate, then it could be closed again. But once the sky was ripped open, that boundary between heaven and earth was destroyed. What God did was destroy that boundary, the barrier between humankind and God forever. The sky was torn and God came through. Mark is telling us that in this Jesus, in Jesus, God's presence and power are on the loose in the world, and that nothing, no thing will ever be the same again. The heavens, that barrier that separated God from humankind, would never be closed again, and God would never again be confined to a safe or sacred place apart from humankind. In Jesus, God has entered the messiness of humankind and would never, ever leave us. You want to have some more fun with the Greek? Okay. The word that means torn or ripped apart is actually used twice in Mark. There are two great tears or rips in Mark's gospel, and they bookend Jesus' ministry. The first happens in our lesson for today, at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry in his baptism. The second happens when he breathes his last on the cross. In this first great tear, we see the veil between humanity and God being completely removed. God removed that barrier between heaven and earth, between God's self and humanity. And at the other end of Mark's gospel, when Jesus died, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, just as the heavens had been torn apart at Jesus' baptism. That curtain no longer separated the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence resided, from all the people, from that common area where everyone was gathered. Because nothing could ever again separate God and God's love from God's people. That curtain is now forever open, never to close again, never to separate God from God's people. Now, just like the tearing of the heavens would have been no easy task, The temple curtain wasn't simply a piece of fabric. First century historian Josephus described the curtain as 60 feet tall, 30 feet wide. It was the thickness of a man's hand. And when it got unclean and had to be clean, it required 300 priests to clean it. God tore that curtain apart, just like God tore the heavens apart at Jesus' baptism. God loves us. God loves the world, the cosmos, every created thing so much that God sent Jesus to us to reveal that love. God tore open the sky to be with us forever so that nothing ever again can separate us from God's love. Now, I know that most of you, if not all of you, have known your share of torn places. Maybe even right now, there's a torn place in your life, in your heart. Times when you felt like the very fabric of your life was being torn into. Times when you have experienced the ripping open of your heart and your soul. Beloved, the outcome is the same as in Mark's gospel. The torn places is where God comes through. In great love and mercy and compassion, just like a parent has for their children, God desires so deeply to be with us in the midst of our pain and suffering that God comes to us when the fabric of our lives is torn apart to be with us in the midst of it. There is no barrier strong enough to keep God from coming to be with us. And when God does come to us in those torn places of our lives, God says the same thing that God said to Jesus. You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Sisters and brothers, God's beloved children, hold so closely in your heart the truth that nothing, no thing is strong enough to separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. You alone are God. Sustain your church in times of wilderness. Give us vision and wisdom to bishops, their staff, and all entrusted with the ministry of administration. Counsel all who faithfully lead your people into the future. Merciful God, you create verdant gardens and expansive deserts. Tend to the needs of every living creature. Bless those who work in fields and orchards, that the world is nourished by the fruits of their labor. Merciful God, you know our temptations. Sustain those who govern and legislate. Instill in them a sense of your justice and righteousness, that justice and peace would pervade all the regions and nations of the world. Merciful God, you are a hiding place for all in distress. Draw near to exiles and accompany all refugees and immigrants, especially children who travel alone. In times of trouble, trauma, or illness, surround your people with your steadfast love, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Bobby, Bonnie, Chip, Teresa, Scott, Kara, Joe, Neil, Jim, Mike and Joanna, Anna, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You offer abundance to all. Bless the ministries of hospitality in this place. Care for those who tend to the needs of others, especially children's church leaders. Merciful God,
receive our
prayers. Trusting that all the saints, prophets, and those who die in faith are held in your care, we remember in thanksgiving those who have died, especially Eva Ray Clark. Unite our prayers with theirs until our wilderness journey is complete. We rest in you. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew the whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we praise and thank you. By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, from freedom of captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now the blessing. Beloved children of God, we are God's own people, holy, washed, and renewed. God bless you and keep you, shower you with mercy, fill you with courage, and give you peace. Amen.
Now let us say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thank you. peace. Jesus walks with you. Thanks be to God.